Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. the Revelation to John. In the Spirit, the angel carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light and its lamp to the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by the day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as the crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on his foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord of God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. deceased, united in their love for her, but divided by their church affiliation. When I asked the family to gather for prayer before the service, about half demurred and went into the church to be seated. The remaining relatives, mostly Episcopalians, stayed to pray. One side of the church filled with those relatives who went in early, and the remaining relatives joined in and filled the other side of the church. During the hymns, I noticed that no one on my left was singing. In fact, no one had opened a hymnal. My invitation to an open communion table was ignored, and only those seated on my right came to communion. The others remained seated. It was as if there was this impregnable wall right down the center aisle of the church. At the cemetery, several of the grandchildren who enjoyed harmonizing sang Amazing Grace and Nearer to Thee. And I concluded the service with prayers. Then several other relatives sang an anthem, Rest in Peace, in Latin. As I left, a sister of the deceased said to me, Father Smith, we gotta cover all bases. I felt sad for the family and for the church. We pray for peace all the time. Peace and unity we pray for daily. And in the canon of the Eucharist, we pray for the church in these words. Reveal its unity. Guard its faith. Preserve it in peace. In the prayers of the people, we pray for the peace of the world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all peoples. And yet there is no peace, no unity, is there? We are so divided along denominational lines that we cannot share the same bread and cup. I am persuaded that we'll have to get to heaven before we see the peace and unity we so fervently pray for. No matter how we slice it, the gospel of Jesus Christ is relational, and it is about unity and wholeness. And I believe that anything that we do to cause discord or schism in the church has the potential for being antithetical to the gospel. Today's gospel gives us a very concrete understanding of what God intends. In this portion of the farewell discourse, as it is known, Jesus outlines the shape of the community's life for generations to come. The context is that Jesus is departing from his disciples. And it comes down to a love affair, simply a love affair. Jesus said, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Did you notice that all the personal pronouns in these verses are second person plural, not singular? The promises of divine presence are made to the community, not the individual. To love God above all else, who for many of us is often distant and aloof, and to love our neighbor whom we often ignore or fear or even hate, is a tall order. Yet Jesus used every opportunity to teach that a relationship with God cannot be separated from relationships with others. We cannot ignore this teaching. So when I experience something like this funeral that I talked about, or some other discord or hurtful behavior in the church, I start looking around for glimpses of heaven here on earth. Today's reading in the book of Revelation helps enormously. John, the author of the book of Revelation, describes the New Jerusalem, the city that has come down to be the center of the new heaven and earth. He extols the beauty and perfection of this city. This New Jerusalem is a golden city, and crystal clear like a rare jewel. Hearing about this New Jerusalem as John describes it can elevate and enlighten our desires of our hearts for God and the living out of God's purposes for us. But what we learn about the New Jerusalem can also function in another way. It can help us to recognize glimpses of heaven that intersect our everyday lives. For when we live by faith, heaven is not a far and alien country, but rather we find ourselves dwelling, at least part of the time, in the suburbs of the New Jerusalem. There are moments when we get a peek at its splendor, often when we least expect it. St. John's is a case in point. Merely being in this space gives us a sense of peace and of belonging, a feeling of being at home. For many of us, it is a glimpse of the New Jerusalem. There are 3 points to remember about heaven's influence and about heaven that influences the gifts, glimpses of heaven that we have here on earth. Heaven is a community. Heaven is a place of healing, and heaven is a place of vision. First, heaven as a community. The story of humankind in the Bible takes us from the Garden of Eden, with only one couple, to a vast city of diversity, multiple languages and cultures and peoples, this New Jerusalem. Gone then is the small, narrow, cramped view of heaven where the salvation it represents. Gone then is any spirituality that distorts the intimate and the personal, turning them into merely the private and individual encounters with God. To be sure, there is intimate personal encounter with God, with Christ, but rightly it always leads us to the generous embrace of the world and all of its people. All of its people. Which God created, and for which Christ died. Second, heaven is a place of healing. John points to this when he describes what we could call the horticulture of heaven. Through the city flows a beautiful river, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, more splendid than anything we know. On the banks of the river appear magnificent trees of life, bearing fruit not once or twice a year, but monthly. And then John tells us that the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The healing of the nations. So heaven has the medicine for the wounds that separate and scar nations
one another.
It is not that these wars or feuds or oppressions are forgotten, repressed, or ignored. What happens is that the wounds are healed. Brokenness gives way to wholeness. Hatred gives way to love. Finally, heaven is a place of vision. Note the references to light in today's passage from Revelation. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is in it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by this light. And what is the object of vision in the city of light? John tells us in a few words. The throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face. This, the sight of God, is what above all else makes heaven. We do not yet live in this New Jerusalem, in this city of heaven, but from time to time we find ourselves near to it, a glimpse, if you will. This glimpse may come as a warming of the heart, a refreshment of hope and courage. It may move us into action. We long for heaven to come, to see the face of God. Meanwhile, however, our longing must be lived out, working for justice, peace, and harmony among all people, and celebrating our common life rather than accentuating our differences.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. I invite you to name those who have died.
Bob Oliver. John.
We remember especially Robert Mond, Andy Groth, the Reverend Robert Oliver, and Linda Bellamy Hall. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak aloud the name of those in need.
Dorcas.
Nancy. Barbara. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially the victims of violence in our own community, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their families and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to serve you here in the heart of downtown. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give you thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
For this community, my family.
Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, help us not so much see all that is broken, but search for glimpses of the kingdom of heaven, glimpses of unity and peace, and help us to strive to serve you in peace and unity. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're here with us today. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. If you're a visitor, would you raise your hand? We will promise we won't make you give a speech, but we just want to know, hi, honey, that you're here. Welcome, so we can welcome you. Everyone around them, please make them feel welcome. We're so glad you're here. Welcome in the back there. Today at 5 o'clock, we have a wonderful annual tradition here at the cathedral. It's called the St. George's Evensong. And if you haven't been before, you have to hear it. Our choir is just incredible, and Tim Tuller does such a beautiful job on the organ, and it's a sacred evening. We will be having a guest preacher, Dina Burrell, who is a former canon here at the cathedral. She will be coming and preaching, so come and hear the beautiful choir and welcome her. 5 o'clock tonight, you're all welcome. Next Sunday, May 12th, we have a consultant coming from the Episcopal Church Foundation who is coming to listen to you all as we talk about this incredible facility and the needs that we have, both for preservation and renovation. She will be talking to you about some of the needs of the facility and getting your ideas and comments and feedback as we plan for the future. Details about the meetings next Sunday can be found in your bulletin. And I hope that you all will try to come and let us know what you think. Don't forget that after you receive communion, if you want a special prayer said for you, we have people in both of the side chapels who will kneel with you and pray for whatever it is that you need in your life. And lastly, we're preparing for baptisms next Sunday and confirmations the following. So if you're interested in baptism, or if you've been preparing for confirmation, please call the office and let us know. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." acclaim you, Holy Lord, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners, freedom, to the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling his death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory and offering to you from the gifts you have given us, this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you. Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with John and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them, and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic minister, who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, the honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world seeking not that which divides us, but that which brings us together. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.